Hey, Carnivore listeners, Al here. Just wanted to give you a quick reminder that one of the new things we're doing in Season 4 is splitting up our episodes into smaller chunks. This came because you guys said that our episodes were getting too long and you wanted something shorter. So our solution was to record big, meaty episodes and then chop them into smaller bites. We made a rule to never have the subject portion of an episode go more than 20 minutes long. The episode you're about to hear is a great example of that. It's episode C, so the third chunk of our episode on miracles today. As I've been editing, I've been trying to make the divisions in logical places, so you get the first episode, episode A, talking about Bethel Redding. The second episode, we talked about the biblical and gospel implications. And then we get this one, where we get into some more practical and personal stuff. We hope this makes your listening experience better, but we'd like to hear from you about it. Send us an email or a Facebook post with your feedback. All right, that's enough from me. Happy listening.
Welcome to Carnivore Theology, a podcast that covers hot topics, current events, and answers your questions to help you grow from milk to meat into wise, skilled, world-changing followers of Jesus Christ. Here's Dr. Chad Graham, Pastor Al Desjardins, and your host, Steve Bastian.
I heard a great sermon, something from John Piper, where he talks about being more than conquerors, and that what does it mean to be more than conqueror? It means that even all the bad stuff, all the things that you could never think would be any good, that God could never use, all your sin and your gross and your rebellion and the pain in your life, God could take that and actually use it.
Yeah.
And he can use it for his glory and your good. That's amazing. That's what it means in Romans 8:28 when it says that he can work all these things together for good. I'm amazed at how many people that refuse to believe that sickness and suffering can actually be good, and that God would say, this is something that is good for you. Think of Hebrews chapter 12, right? Hebrews 12, 5-11, reminds us that one of the ways we know that God is a good father, and goes back to that guy's quote, one of the ways we know that God is a good father is that he reproves us and he disciplines us. Sometimes he uses sickness and suffering. Really? Does he do that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go read 1 Corinthians, where he tells the people when they're not doing communion right, that's one of the reasons that they're sick. He uses sickness and suffering sometimes.
Yeah. Now, by the way, that's a very specific context where I think, in one sense, that is right about God sort of pointing down and zapping you. Those are disciplines, and disciplines are different than the run-of-the-mill we deal with in this life.
I think you made a very good point about the idea of general suffering and general the world, but at the same time, this stuff does have a purpose. It can be used for good. God can redeem even sickness and suffering, appoint sickness and suffering. Psalm 119 says this, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. He says this over and over and over, this idea that it actually taught me something. It taught me a lot. Let me close with Romans 8:18-22 says this, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us.
Yeah.
For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Now, that says that it's normal right now to suffer. Things are going to be bad and frustrating until we get to heaven. It's why we groan. All the creation is groaning with this, because we want to be in heaven. It reminds us of heaven. Mm. It causes us to not only desire the presence of God, but also to remind us that, you know what? This stuff can also purify us and from sin and cause us to be prepared for heaven.
And I think following that, to see the idea that it is a groaning and a longing for redemption, the bad things are not good things just because you're a Christian. They're still bad things. Yeah. And no discipline seems pleasant at the time. But it is for the joy set before him that Christ endured the shame.
Yep.
We have to endure. There's something to the fact that we have to tough through some crummy things in life. But that's where the church comes in. That's where we need to comfort one another. That's where we need to be there for one another. When you have a person addressing this question who's suffering through a long-term illness, it is only natural that they're going to feel depressed, discouraged, doubts. And the church needs to come alongside and comfort, encourage, help, and support them and remind them through their own actions that God loves them, that God is with them, that the people of God are with them, and that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And to make it known too that God is a God of mercies, and it is right and proper to pray for their healing, and God may raise them up.
Christians value the weak. Christians value the poor. In fact, we go out of our way because we know that we were weak and poor and lost, and God went out of his way to save us. It is the non-Christian, it is the evil, the pagan, that looks at the weak, the Down syndrome baby, the old elderly person who can no longer work, and says, you know what we should do? We should kill them. It'd be better if they were dead. You know, they have no benefit. Ooh. There's no benefit to being sick. There's no benefit to existing if you have any kind of pain. Boy, that sure sounds like the prosperity gospel. Boy, that sure sounds like what these guys are trying to preach. You walk up to these people and you say, you know what? You have no value because you don't have enough faith. You're not, you can't worship. You can't do anything good. You're a mess.
Quick question for you guys. When have you been closest to Christ? At what point, up or down in your life?
Oof, I'd say Tuesday.
This last Tuesday. Well, that's good.
It's Tuesday. It's been just a continuing arc up.
Yeah, and that's what you get when you're Chad.
To give a very honest answer to that question, many people have different dispositions, and some have a lot of sort of highs and lows and sort of feelings of closeness and distance and farness. I don't live in that kind of way in a general sense. I obviously have days that are better and days that are worse.
Chad's a robot.
I have a disposition that...
he has one.
I have a disposition.
I have a disposition.
I have a frickin' disposition, people.
I also have the human emotions.
sorry, Chad.
and I think that some people are going to say, I had this time when I felt this amazing emotional bond to God that I've never had before, and it was a high that I rode for days. And other people are going to never have that experience. Other people are going to say, I had this terrible low where I thought God was not even real. I didn't even know if he was near me. And others aren't going to have that experience. But we are all going to experience greater and lesser joys and greater and lesser sorrows as we go through this life. And, you know, honestly, in my disposition, I don't have those kind of arcing highs and lows. I don't go through spells of long depression or spells of long joyous,
rapture.
I just sort of get along, and I generally feel close to God all the time. But I know when I sin that I have a distance, just like I know when my wife and I have argued about something and you feel bad about it and you want to make it right and you try to remake that connection. Yeah, I know that happens. I know when I sin, I feel that same way and I want to be restored to God. That's what I do. I repent and I move on.
Yep.
I don't go, oh, the agonies. I wonder if God heard my repentance. That's just not my disposition.
Well, and the danger of that question, Steve, is that, like this Reading Church and like all these clips I've seen online, is that they are seeking the experience. They're seeking the feeling. I've never felt so close to God as when I was shaking and twitching and laughing and freaking out is what
and the
they
feathers
will say.
Fell on my head.
Yeah. And they will say that. And that's when they felt close to God. And that is a very dangerous way to understand your faith. It's very dangerous to say, I felt close to God during this time, because in truth, that could have been just a good day with coffee, and it could have been a very strange experience. Like, so that's not really the way to look at it. When 1 John 1:9 says that when you are forgiven in a covenantal way, it doesn't say you're forgiven when you feel forgiven. It doesn't, you're not forgiven because you emoted to God properly. No. What it says is if you ask for forgiveness, you'll be given forgiveness. And not that, again, I'm a Baptist and therefore I've purged my emotions during the Ponfar ritual a long time ago.
I thought that was Presbyterians.
but at the same time, you know, I understand and people will have an up and down, but it's a dangerous question, mm-hmm. Steve. Dangerous question.
Yeah. Well, I know that in my suffering, when I've turned to Christ, I've built a better relationship with him in the long run. And I'm happy for that. Yeah, so.
Certainly.
So I think I can still accurately answer Steve's question. Tuesday was pretty good.
Monday, he sinned.
That's right.
Oh.
To find out more about Carnivore Theology, get some custom merchandise, download bulletin inserts and posters, or send us some ideas about topics you'd like us to cover, visit our website at www.carnivoretheology.com. For even more Carnivore Theology content, check out our CT Shorts video series on our YouTube channel. If you like what we're doing, please share us with your church and friends, like us on Facebook, and rate us on iTunes. And, as always, we encourage you to connect with your local biblical church and keep your eyes on the cross.
Well, welcome to our behind the scenes recording of our... So you guys maybe
you were ready. See, you hit that red button. You got to be ready. Behind the scenes,
it's like the Oilers in the first 5 minutes of last night's hockey game.
Yeah,
or the entirety of the 2000 season, like everything in 2015.
Welcome to our behind the scenes recording of our podcast. If you want the short, edited, get rid of our faces episode, visit www.carnivoretheology.com.
You're sick of looking at our ugly mugs. We've cut that part out for you.
You can just get the audio. You don't have to look at this.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Here, we should get in the car.
Fine.
Chad. All right.
Okay.
Hi, Chad. Shotgun. Thank you for picking us up. I appreciate it.
Slam, slam.
Al's going to have to edit all of those sound effects out later.
I was just really committed to that.
Okay, Chad. So get the PSA music playing.
I did some.
It's very important that you see your doctor regularly and get checked in those special places.
That's right. If it lasts for more than 5 hours,
I'm gonna go. That kind of PSA.
Okay. Go, Al. You can do it. So, Chad, you're. The Gettys. I don't know much about this, so you're gonna have to lead us on this emotional journey of music and passion.
That's when I think passion, I think Gettys.
They better be dancing.
They're
right?
Great. Oh, they're great.
Well, they are Irish.
Yeah, they're great. All right. Okay. Sounds awesome.
Okay. Thanks, guys. How do we want to wrap up?
All right, so what you're going to want to do, you're going to want to go to our website. You're going to want to check out www.carnivoretheology.com.
Wow.
Let's do Steve's job for him.
Yeah, I know, man. Steve's doing things mine. Supposed to do his.
Like us on Facebook.
Rate us on iTunes.
Check
us out on Twitter.
Twitter us.
Like and comment on YouTube.
Face us.
By the way, we're going to start releasing Facebook. We're going to release our newest episodes on Facebook. So now you can listen and share. The new stuff.
Yes.
Don't we do that
post
already?
The audio. Nope. No, we're going to post the audio, the shortened version on Facebook.
Real audio version. Yeah.
Starting with this episode will be the first one up there.
The thing is, I want to use the internets to look at us.
Yeah, you will.
Okay.
Oh, bye, good.
Buddy. Take care. Thank you.